Hello there, I'm Joe Bears, and welcome to my exit interview.
You're listening to a TJSideways.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Well, as people just heard in that intro, Joe Bears, you have some big news to end the season with.
Yeah, we're making the announcement that this will be my last season as a owner-operator, per se, and kind of pulling the plug on racing as much as we do. If something were to come along to drive on an occasional basis, if it was the right opportunity and could be fun and beneficial for everyone, we'd look at it. But yeah, really at this point, retiring from sprint car racing.
And your schedule's curtailed over the past couple of years. I mean, the number of races you've done have gone down, even though quite often you traveled quite a distance to sometimes go to some of those races.
Yeah. And that was by design. With my business, that kept getting busier and busier and busier all the time. And, and I was still trying to race, 20, 25 nights. And run the business and have a full-time job. It just got to be too much. So kind of when we started cutting back on the schedule, really the intent was let's take a couple of years to focus on the business, kind of get things straightened out there and rolling good. And, if we're racing less, it's easier on equipment and we can kind of build up equipment inventory to where, we can hit it even harder and start racing more after, business stuff's in line. That was our plans, and sometimes God laughs at our plans, so we kind of had a change of heart and decided to just kind of call it a career after this year.
And just so people, we'll get to your day job in a second, but you actually have a business that you said, we'll see what happens with it, building pit carts and rebuilding rear ends and doing some other things. And I remember when you came to me and said, hey, I think I'm going to build a couple pit carts and just see what happens, and that's turned into quite a little operation over there in Jenison.
Yeah. And it really exploded, exceeded all expectations more than I ever thought it would. It used to be, if I can build a couple a year, that would be all right. But, especially during the off season, we were doing two or three a month and it just really kind of spiraled out of control. And then, with rebuilding and rear ends, that's kind of something I just, kind of fell into not by design, because I've always done my own rear ends, and then a couple local guys got to asking around and I think Jay Steinbeck started it. He asked me to redo a rear end from him, and then he kind of started telling people around the races that I did his rear ends, and that kind of snowballed into another branch. so yeah, that keeps us busy as well.
Yep. And that's in addition to, how many years have you been on an active police officer now?
This would be about my 19th or 20th year.
Yeah. So, and those hours aren't exactly normal either.
No. And that really kind of became more difficult. I was always in like a traffic division to where, I just did crash reconstruction and had a pretty flexible schedule. Then the last year I've been, working road patrol, which, has me on 12 hour shifts and working every other weekend. And it's kind of, I can still get time off, but it just made it a little more challenging to, put together a race schedule, without killing your vacation bank and whatnot. So that's another part is just, my responsibilities at work have changed too. And it just comes down to time, with having a family now, work and business and, trying to be a father. I always felt like, I was only able to put 50-75% effort into a bunch of different areas, cause I had so many irons in the fire to that, everything was suffering, from racing, you know, spending time at home and performance at work is just, you know, something had to give. And, you know, and with the racing, it's my thought on racing has always been, if I can't do it right, then I don't want to do it at all. You know, I'm very meticulous on maintenance programs and everything else. And, you know, a lot of times we found ourselves just kind of in a last minute rush to get ready to go racing. I just don't like doing that. And I feel like my performance behind the wheel has certainly dropped off because I'm not racing as much and because I have those extra distractions now. And, you know, I mean, selfishly speaking, it kind of got to the point where it's like, well, if I can't race 25, 30 nights a year, then, you know, I don't want to do it. So I want to be all in or we're not going to do it. So, and I can't go in all in anymore on racing. So, got too many other distractions and other things in life that I'm passionate about that I want to pursue before I get much older. So I'm, you know, turned 40 this year. So, so yeah, it's just time to do something different. And so that's kind of where we got to where we're at now.
And, you know, that's a long ways because you've been a sprint car driver now for, I was trying to do the math, roughly, I'm thinking 22 years. Am I close?
Well, I've been in a sprint car for 20 years. And then before that, I think I spent like 5 or 6 years racing go-karts. And we went from go-karts right to the sprint cars.
Yeah,
I was crewing for Jody Hunt, and before that, I was always hanging around Spike Lacombe. So, I mean, really, since I've been 12 or 13 years old, I've spent every possible weekend at the racetrack. So, and I don't regret it at all, by no means. But well, that's a long time to be around it.
The
so.
Crazy thing is that we've known each other probably then for, I'm guessing, if I'm doing the math, roughly 25 or 30 years, because you were the kid that used to watch Spike Lacombe's kids. That sat behind us every week at I-96 Speedway. So we've known each other for a long time. So, I remember the first time you pulled in with just your little yellow sprint car and an open trailer, nothing at all in the trailer.
And that's
what you started out with. And literally, we kind of went, hey, that's the kid that used to watch Spike's kids. And that's kind of how it got started a little bit.
Yeah, that's all how it got started. And I've joked with Spike over the years that, you know, all of this is his fault. You know, if it weren't for him, my house would be paid for and everything else. Cause you know, I joke with him that, you know, ever since he started bringing me to the races, it's been just a constant, downward financial spiral ever since. So, but like I said, I mean, absolutely no regrets. And really when it, you know, when I started thinking about retiring, you know, I think about Spike, you know, cause you know, as you know, back in, I think it was 95 or 96 when he had his crash and was kind of forced out of the car, you know, he just couldn't race anymore, you know, because of his injuries and everything else. And, you know, I always wanted to retire on my terms. I wanted to make the decision, not because, you know, I was laying broken in a hospital bed or, you know, I was bankrupt or what have you. You know, I always wanted to retire on my terms and, you know, not have it be a negative experience. And, you know, this is a decision. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, makes me sad in some respects, but at the same time, I'm completely at peace with it because I feel like it's time. But yeah, yep.
How much easier is it because you've knocked out some of those bucket list races over the past 4 or 5 years? Because you kind of went after. You went to some USAC races, and you didn't pick the easy ones. You went on all the tours out to every corner of the country, it seemed like, with those guys.
Yeah, and, you know, and Roy, I think that's what I'm going to miss the most is I love being on the road. I love traveling. I like sleeping in Walmart parking lots and truck stops and everything else. I mean, being part of the traveling circus, I mean, that's just an absolute blast. And you know, especially the USAC guys, you know, from the officials, down to the competitors, you know, we're just part-timers, you know, we drop in and out of the series here and there, but you would never know it. I mean, they treat you like a full-time competitor. There's a couple times we had to go into the hot pits, you know, to have some repairs made, and we were over in Wisconsin somewhere, and I had, four crew guys from, you know, four different USAC teams over there working on my car to get me back out in the A. You know, and for them to treat, you know, Joe Nobody from Michigan like that, you know, we really enjoyed our time racing with USAC and, you know, and Sprigg and Levi. I mean, they really make you feel like, you know, you're part of the group. And, you know, and I'm happy, you know, with some of the results we've had with USAC. I mean, I'm real proud that we've had a couple top tens against them and, you know, I've qualified real well a couple times with them. And, you know, so, you know, if you can look back at that and, you know, those are definitely some of the highlights of my career is, you know, some of the good runs we've had against those guys. But yeah, racing with USAC and doing those trips, you know, and that's what I'm going to miss the most.
Of all those tours, because I believe you've done Eastern Storm, you've done, you know, the trips out west, you've done the Wisconsin. Which one was your favorite, do you think?
Oh, boy. I would say, you know, a couple times we went up to Superior, then like Deer Creek and Sun Prairie. Those were fun. My wife will hate me for saying this, but it really, you know, going up to Superior, Wisconsin, racing at Amsoil Speedway, that, you know, each time we went up there, I mean, we left with just a trailer load of stories, you know, because it was always an adventure way up north like that, you know, from, you know, I think we got fogged out one time and, I mean, nobody could find their way out of town. That's how foggy it was. And we kind of laughed because we came up to a four-way stop and each corner of the four-way stop had a different race trailer and everybody was lost. Nobody could find the highway, you know, so, the second year that we went up there come feature time, you know, coming out of turn two down the backstretch, you could barely see the entrance of turn three. It was so foggy, you know? And so just to go hauling down the straightaway like that, it was, yeah, Superior was always an adventure for some way or fashion. So, but doing those, I don't know what they call them, the Plains or Great North tours or what have you. Those were the most fun.
And a lot of newer fans might not realize that you basically started your career wing sprint car racing for the most part.
Yep.
And then you made the transition to non-wing sprint car racing. Kind of when that started growing a little bit around here shortly after they did the weekly shows at I-96 and that evolved into what's now the MTS Tour. Why did you make the switch initially?
You know, even early on in my career, I was always intrigued by the non-wing stuff. Just to try something different. And, you know, I always admired those guys, you know, like, you know, Dave Darland and Chase Stockin and, you know, I mean, just to see what they could do with a non-wing car. It's like, what's it like to back a sprint car into the corner, you know, like right rear first. And, so we tried just a non-wing show up here in Michigan. I just instantly fell in love with it. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. And then, you know, then we started racing down south and, you know, in the wing world, you know, I've always kind of viewed like out in Pennsylvania as like those guys are top tier for weekly racing, you know, and you look south, you know, just 3 hours south from me was the absolute top tier of the non-wing group, you know, and why not take the advantage of racing against the absolute best in the business on a weekly basis? You know, why wouldn't you give yourself that experience? And so we started doing that and, you know, getting beat up pretty handedly night in, night out, but you know, at least we were down there doing it. And you know, and I remember somebody asking me, we were at a sod show at Crystal and I was starting on the pole that night for the feature, and they asked me if I was nervous about starting on the pole, and I'm like, well, no, because last night down at Gas City I started, you know, next to Dave Darland and I had John Stambro behind me. I mean, that's stress, starting up front in a sod show. That's easy next to just a heat race down there. So yeah, I mean, really it was just, you know, if you want to be a better driver, you just got to get beat up on. And that's kind of what we did, is going down there and getting beat up on all the time. And then, you know, just establishing the relationships and the friendships with the guys down there. You know, and like I said, I mean, they really, you know, they just really accepted us in as, you know, one of their own right off the bat and treated us real well and have a lot of great friendships down there that I'll cherish forever. So
When do you think, what do you think will give you the most of a twitch when you're next summer, when it rolls around and there's a particular race maybe taking place? When do you think you'll probably have the, oh man, I shouldn't be here. I should be at blank right now. Where should that, where would that place be?
Yeah, really. Oh boy. You know, probably when the weekly series, you know, starts up down in Indiana, you know, when Kokomo starts up and Gas City starts up. But, you know, I still plan on being around, you know, coming to races and watch, because I love sprint cars. I'm, you know, huge fan of sprint car racing, even if I'm not in the car. But I think it will be the most difficult, you know, once I go to a race next summer and seeing guys waiting in the chute to be pushed off and I'm in blue jeans and a t-shirt. That will be the hardest part, is, you know, watching everybody else being strapped in and everything else, and, you know, you're not part of that anymore. So that will be the toughest, is probably actually being there.
And when you see one blow up or go off on the hook, though, you'll think, I don't have to work on that. I've done that.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, we've had a couple hard licks the past couple of years, you know, and really bent up a lot of cars. And, you know, and as I've gone through my career, you know, it used to be, you know, when I was flipping, it would scare me, you know, and then, you know, as I progress in my career and have the funds available to tear up some cars, you know, you're flipping because you're mad because, well, this is going to cost a lot of money. And, you know, where we're at right now, budget wise, you know, but in my decision has nothing to do with money, because this is the best budget I've ever had, you know. So now when I'm flipping and crashing, it's like, dang it, there goes another two nights I got to spend in the shop putting this stupid thing back together, you know. So, yeah, it used to scare me, and then it was, you know, dang it, this is going to cost a lot of money, and now it's just time. You know, I just don't have the time for it. So
proving that time is,
you know,
our most valuable.
And that's another thing is, you know, like I said, I mean, I'm 40 years old, and we went for a little ride, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago down at Waynesfield, and it's like, man, I'm still feeling it. You know, it's like, man, my neck still hurts. So yeah, I don't bounce back like I used to anymore either.
Yeah, I can attest to that. That definitely is part of it. Who do you think retirement is going to be harder on, you or your dad? Because your dad is like your biggest fan ever.
Yeah, I think it will be harder on me. He likes sprint car racing, but it scares him to death. You know, so I think he's got more or less relieved. You know, we had conversation, you know, last week or so in the shop, and, you know, and I think he's relieved that it's almost over, you know, 'cause he made a comment that, you've rung your bell before and forgot which racetrack you're at for a while. And, you know, I've had some broken bones and stitches and everything else. And, you know, my dad just kind of, you know, said, you know, you dodged a bullet a couple times, you know, where you really could have been hurt bad. And, you know, so I think he's relieved, and, you know, I'm sad, but at the same time, you know, I think it's the right decision. So.
Do you think you'd ever take a position, maybe mentoring a younger driver or doing something of that nature?
Yeah, I would. I just wouldn't want to do it on a full-time basis, you know, part-time basis, or to kind of get a new team up and running. Absolutely. And that's been real fun the last couple of years, is, you know, instead of, you know, me searching out answers and asking questions, you know, I get a couple phone calls a week, you know, from other teams, you know, looking for help or, set up advice, or this is bent, can you fix it? So I've really enjoyed making that transition to, you know, helping other teams out and, you know, getting them pointed in the right direction. But yeah, I would consider, you know, if the situation is right. And, you know, like I said, not on a full-time basis. There's other things I want to do.
Yeah. So we had mentioned earlier, you crossed a lot of places off your bucket list. What's the one place you didn't get to race at that you wish you would have before you hang up the helmet here in a few weeks?
You know, one trip I always wanted to make, and, you know, we talked about it, but like I said, like the last couple of years the business has been so freaking busy is, you know, I've always wanted to go south to Florida in February and race down there. And then one more track was Ventura out in California. We were out in California on a road trip down the Pacific Coast Highway, and we stopped in at Ventura and checked out the track. And it's just a really, really neat facility. And, you know, I always wanted to go out there and race. And so, yeah, those are two of the ones that, you know, I always wanted to go south to Florida and race in the winter and hit Ventura. But those are probably the ones I'll, you know, regret not just making the effort and doing it.
So according to my software here, it says we have about 24 hours of recording space left, which is probably a
good point.
Great. It's probably a good point for you to start thanking people throughout your career that have helped you. So I'm sure there's some people you want to thank here on your way out the door in this exit interview.
Yeah. And it's tough because there's been just so many people over the years, you know, that, you know, have helped out, but, you know, and, you know, we've talked about it, you know, with Spike, you know, he's the one that really got the wheels moving in my brain, to being wanting to be a sprint car driver. And, you know, and he supported me from day one all the way up until now. You know, he's always been, you know, primary sponsor and biggest cheerleader for me. And also, Jody Hunt, you know, Spike got me interested in the sport, kind of showed me some, you know, just got me exposed to it, you know, but I was just a kid then. But once I started going with Jody Hunt, you know, and that's really where my education started. You know, Jody taught me how to, you know, maintain a car during the week and how to take care of stuff. And, you know, taught me the science behind a sprint car, what stagger is and what torsion bars are. And, you know, so Jody really laid the educational foundation for me. And again, you know, Jody still supports me to this day. And, you know, and my parents, reluctantly, you know, I know they would rather have, you know, me just have a pontoon boat or something like that over the years, but, they've always stood by me and said, you know, the decisions were mine to make. And, also my wife, I mean, when we met, she didn't even know what a sprint car was. And, you know, and she really dove in with both feet, you know, once we were married. And, you know, we had a lot of fun trips together. And you know, and what I really appreciate about her is, you know, she gave me the room to make the decision on my own. You know, there's no pressure, you know, you need to quit or what have you, you know. She gave me the latitude to where, you know, this is completely my decision, and which I appreciate, you know, but she also knew if she like applied any pressure, I'd make her resent it for the rest of her life. So, you know, and then, oh boy, man, there's so many people. You know, and like I said, you know, just establishing those friendships, down south. I've run DRC chassis for the very vast majority of my career. Joe Devin over the years has just been great to me, and, you know, and more so than just a customer, you know, or, you know, I feel like, you know, we're more friends than we are, you know, a business relationship, you know, and, had a lot of fun with him over the years. Jeff Claxton, as moody as he is sometimes, he's a great engine builder and, you know, and a good friend, and, have enjoyed spending time with him and running his engines. And, you know, Dave Darlin, Jeff Walker, Chase Stockin, you know, really over the years, all those guys have been great to me and have helped me out a great deal over the years.
And basically anyone involved in how it,
I gotta mention Brett Mann too, because if I don't mention him, I'll get a phone call or something that, you know, because he says I'm his hero. So I gotta mention him.
Yeah, I didn't have the God of Sod queued up there. I wish I would have known. I would have had that queued up for
I forgot about the God of Sod.
The God of Sod. So I was just going to say, basically, you could thank the whole Holland, Michigan sprint car community, because you're all kind of tied in together over there to some degree. So
the whole bunch. Over here.
It's like all the sponsors, the drivers, the teams, everybody, we're just kind of like one big conglomerate over there. So So this is an exit interview. So how many race notice are you giving us before you hang up the helmet?
Crystal will be my last race in Michigan. And then after that, we'll kind of evaluate where we're at. I'm looking at making the trip down to Lake of the Ozarks and Lakeside over in Kansas City. Looking at making that trip with USAC. You know, if we don't do that, then we'll do Terre Haute with USAC again. And so either one of those trips will be it. So yeah, we're down to just you know, maybe three or four to go. And that's it.
That's it. So you give us about 3 weeks notice. So we do appreciate that in the exit interview.
You're welcome. And, you're welcome. Don't want to burn any bridges.
Exactly. Because you're going to pursue other opportunities. So we do appreciate that. But no, it's been fun working with you over the years on this stuff because we've had a lot of cool adventures together. And like I said, we've gone from grandstand kids to doing various things in this industry. And both you and I are going to be continuing to do stuff in the industry. It's not like you're not going to be around. I mean, you're still building pit carts for everything from legend cars, the sprint cars, the whatever.
Everything in between.
I'll
definitely be around yet.
Yeah. If someone does want a pit cart, I'll give you a free one here. Well, how do they get in touch with you?
Yep. We offer several standard models, but we also do full custom builds and from mild to wild. Like I said, that kind of just grew out of control. I'm you know, really pleased that, you know, we have our products out there literally from coast to coast, as far south as southern Florida, all the way up into British Columbia area, I believe, and California out to Connecticut. We even have some customers out in New Zealand and all points in between. So, and all the way from Saturday night racers all the way up to professional IMSA road racing teams. So we take care of everyone.
And if I wanted to get one, I would go to?
You can visit us on our Facebook page and find all my contact information there. You can send me a text, a Facebook message, an email, or old fashioned, if you want to call me, I'll talk to you and we'll figure out what you need and we'll get you going.
Well, Joe, we appreciate your service over the years, your day job, your racing career. And, thank you for giving us a moment in this exit interview. And, we wish you the best on your future endeavors.
I appreciate the time, TJ.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.